Hi, my name is Yara and I'm the host of Life After Birth. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people, the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded. I send my respects and reverence to Whadjuk Noongar elders, past, present and emerging. On this podcast, we share stories and wisdom about the ups and downs of our mothering experiences, much like the First Nations people of Australia have done so through their storytelling for over 60,000 years. Through their oral traditions, the Whadjuk Noongar people have supported and celebrated one another and have passed down knowledge, values and lessons, providing a testament of the power and significance of sharing our own stories. In honouring them, we recognise the importance of storytelling in understanding our past, navigating our present and shaping our future. My hope is that this podcast carries this spirit forward in our conversations, acknowledging that while our stories may differ, they all hold value and contribute to our shared human experience. Hey Mama, I'm Yara Heery and this is Life After Birth. This is where you can find honest and vulnerable conversations that lift the veil on how mothers really experience life after birth. Join me as I talk to the experts in the parenting space, but not as you've heard them before. These conversations explore the common humanity in all our lived experiences as mothers, so that you're left feeling seen, heard, validated, and bolstered in your ability to weather your mothering storms. Hey everybody, welcome back to Life After Birth with Yara. It's so wonderful to have you here listening into another episode. And today I'm so excited because I have got Rachel Shepherd-Ota, who is a certified sleep consultant, a parent educator, content creator, podcaster and mother of three. And Rachel and I actually spoke towards the end of last year, actually on her podcast, because she also hosts one called No One Told Us, which is absolutely amazing. Rachel is also the founder of Hey Sleep Baby. So you may already know of her and be following her. If you're not, you need to head over there because it's just amazing. I feel so seen and so loved up by all the content that you put out. It's just absolutely wonderful. Rachel is actually over in San Francisco, so she's so kind to be with me tonight in her time, which is nighttime. So thank you so much for joining us, Rachel. I cannot wait to hear about what your kind of lived experience has been. Welcome to the podcast.
Gosh, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, everybody loved your episode over on my podcast. And so I'm so happy to speak to your audience here. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. It's so good. I just love the connections that I have made, you know, on Instagram. Like it's just been so wonderful because I've just found all these beautiful, like-minded people. And I'm just like, I just wish everybody lived in my area and then we could just all hang out in real life.
I know. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Good. So good. Yeah.
I know. I've been doing this for about 4 years now, and I've made so many friends and connections on Instagram, and I'm actually going to meet some of them for the very first time in person next month. We're going to Nashville for a conference here in the States.
So
I know. I'm so excited to actually be able to like hug some people and go to dinner with them in real life. And yeah, it'll be really fun.
Oh, that's so good. I think I've got to put that on my agenda for like organizing something like that. It would be so great. So great. So Rachel, I would love for people to get to know a little bit about, you know, what sort of phase of parenting you're in. What does your family kind of look like right now?
Yeah. So I have three kids, as you mentioned. So I have a 6-year-old who's in school now and just so big and it's crazy. And then I have a just turned 4-year-old who is in preschool. And then I have a little toddler. She's 16 months. So it's funny because I kind of feel like I'm in two stages at the same time. I have those two older kids who are a little bit more independent now. They're at school most of the day. But then I still have a baby who's nursing and still waking up at night. And so I still very much feel like I'm in the postpartum period as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And such different needs as well, you know, being pulled across those different developmental phases as well for the kids. Yeah. Wow. Rachel, tell me a little bit about where you've kind of come from in terms of, you know, a little bit about your background, your family dynamic, I guess, you know, like who you kind of were before you entered this phase of mothering.
Yeah. So I'm an oldest girl in my nuclear family, my original family, which says a lot about me, oldest daughter. And yeah, I grew up with like a very close family. My sisters are two of my best friends. And that's always kind of been in the forefront of my mind when thinking about creating my own family is, you know, my childhood was nowhere near perfect. My parents definitely made some mistakes with me, as all parents do.
Yeah.
But I took a lot of things from my own background and my own childhood into my adult life. And I don't live near my family, unfortunately, anymore. They're on the other coast of the States in Connecticut. So I don't get to see them all that much, but we do still like keep in contact. They're great grandparents to my kids. And yeah, I've been out here in San Francisco for about 10 or 11 years. And my background was actually in teaching. I went to college for education and I was a special education teacher for about 9 years and then had my kids and things just kind of shifted. And I don't know, I just didn't want to go back to teaching after my second daughter. It was COVID and we were doing distance learning and I don't know what it looked like for you guys there, but it was very intense here with how locked down everything was. And
yeah.
So yeah, that was kind of a scary time, but that was also when I started this business. I started in March of 2020 with my first certification program, thinking it would just be like a side hustle. I needed more money to be able to send my kids to daycare if I was going to go back to work. And it just kind of grew from there. And so, yeah, so I never returned from teaching after that maternity leave and this Hey Sleepy Baby. And now the podcast has kind of just taken off. And this past year, we were able to have my husband stay home. So now my husband is a stay-at-home dad with the little ones. And so I'm able to work more.
Wow, that's so fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been a lot of change in the last, you know, 5 or so years, but it's all been good.
Yeah. And isn't it, as you were talking about, you know, not wanting to return back to teaching, I was just thinking, like, it's funny how becoming a parent can just, it can change so many different areas of your life, you know, like even just from a values perspective, right? And how many women that I've talked to on this podcast as well, who also may have been doing things that were kind of in similar industries, but different kind of work, and then becoming a mother and then being like, oh, this is the thing that I want to do, and just having this, you know, amazing passion for that. So yeah, that's really awesome. So when you were going through kind of college and when you were in teaching, how would you kind of describe who you were back then in terms of like your personality? And of course, some of those things, maybe all of them, maybe are very similar, maybe things have changed, I don't know. But how would you describe who you were before having children?
Gosh, that is such a good question. And it's so amazing that you ask that because I don't think many people focus on who you were before you had children. And when you become a mom, you're seen as just a mom and not somebody who had this like whole life before you had your kids. So I love that you ask that and that you make me reflect on that because it's not something I've thought about in a long time. I would say I've always been kind of outgoing. I would say before I had kids, I was maybe a little more outgoing. I think having kids has made me a little bit more of an introvert, a little bit more of a homebody. But yeah, I used to be very outgoing and, you know, kind of wanting to go out and do things with friends all the time. And my husband and I loved to travel before we had kids. And now the idea of a vacation with them gives my husband like major anxiety. So we don't do it quite as much, but I do love to travel. And yeah, I think I've always been kind of just like a very even-tempered, even-keeled person. And I had a very strong yoga practice before kids and strong meditation practice. And it's funny because a lot of that stuff just kind of falls away when you become a mom. And then it's this idea of like, okay, well, was that really who I was? Or were those just the things that I liked to do? Or were those just my hobbies? Like, that's not actually who I was, right? So I don't know. I think it's hard. 6 years in, it's actually hard to remember who she was back then.
You know, I totally resonate with that. And I love hearing the answers that people give to that question, because I think it's interesting. Like, I think about that for myself. I think probably more when I am personally challenged with things in my mothering or, you know, with my children's behavior, I think about that only because it gives me context sometimes as to why I'm struggling with it, you know, like, so myself, you know, I've always been someone who is pretty driven And, you know, when I get an idea, I just want to like do it and make it happen straight away. I've always been like that. And that's been a real, there's been a real unlearning, I think, of that. And so when I, you know, struggle with things in my mothering, often when I take a moment to reflect, I can see that it's that part of me wanting to do that. You know what I mean? Like
wanting the
immediate kind of result or whatever. So those are the moments I think when I go, oh yeah, like that is how I used to be. And while that still can be useful, you know, it's not like I got rid of it. It's still useful now, but it's almost like in those moments, it takes me seeing that that's happening, that that part of me is kind of showing up and being like, yeah, this isn't the time for you right now, actually. You know what I mean?
Like, wow, yeah.
Being able to say, yeah, I get it. Yeah. So it's useful for me. And I think when I'm talking to people, it's interesting to hear about their backgrounds because I sometimes find that when we talk further on in the episode that it makes sense, like things make sense a little bit more. So yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. And how did you kind of go into becoming a mother? Was it something that you like, was it planned? Were you looking forward to that? What were your kind of ideas around what this would be? Hey mamas, it's Yara here from Life After Birth Psychology. I want to talk to you about something that many mothers carry a lot of shame about, and that's anger. Have you ever found yourself thinking, what the hell is wrong with me? Why am I so angry? Why can't I just stay calm? Well, I want you to know that you're not alone. So many mothers quietly worry about their anger. But did you know that your anger carries messages that can unlock a more regulated and fulfilling experience for you as a mother? To support you in changing your relationship with anger, I have created a self-paced online workshop designed to help you understand your anger and learn to process and express it in more adaptive and healthy ways. Within the workshop, you'll explore the role of your nervous system, the hidden messages in your emotions, and even how your past influences how you respond to challenge and stress today. But the best part, you'll gain practical tools that'll help you gracefully steer through those intense moments, all while deepening the heartfelt connections you cherish with your children and loved ones. Ready to get started? All you have to do is head to lifeafterbirthpsychology.podia.com, scroll down and click on my Why Am I So Angry workshop. You can also check out the link in the show notes for today's episode. All right, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted to be a mom. I've always loved kids. I started babysitting when I was 12 years old. You know, I loved being a big sister and I just was always obsessed with babies. Like I used to be at church with my family and see a baby and just like have this daydream or this fantasy that the mom would ask me to hold the baby for some like reason. I don't know what she would need a 12-year-old to hold her baby for, but I've always loved kids. And so I like it was never a question of if I would have kids. I always knew that it was something that I really wanted. And my husband also like very, very family oriented, couldn't wait to be a dad. When we got married, though, my husband was in grad school. So we knew that we wanted to wait a while, like maybe ideally would have been 1 or 2 years into the marriage before we really started to try. And my first was kind of a surprise pregnancy. So it happened a little bit earlier than we anticipated. We had only been married for about 6 months. But yeah, I mean, he was coming and it was happening. So we figured it out. And, you know, we're very happy. He was our hardest infant for sure. Out of all three of our kids, looking back, he was definitely the hardest. And I had some postpartum anxiety and like things were definitely not super easy, but we did love being parents and loved him so much. So knew we wanted more, or at least one more. And then we were kind of happy with two for a while. We were really content and my business was starting to do really well and things were just kind of easy. And then we decided to have another one because like, that's boring. We went for the third and we're so glad we did. But yeah, now we're definitely done. Our family feels very, very complete now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I resonate with that thing about like, you know, you guys got together, got married, you know, wanted to have children. Then it happened much faster. I had the same thing. I was like, oh, I kind of wish I'd had an extra year.
Like, yes, I know.
And so, you know, like my experience also of going into becoming a mother was that when I want to learn about something, I just go all in. But what I went all in on was birth and, you know, like, and pregnancy, you know, so learning about what was happening during pregnancy, like how to look after my body, you know, thinking about what kind of birth I wanted, all of that. Like I just did so much work on that and I did all the nesting and all of that, but I really didn't think about anything after that at all. And I just remember having this moment where we're at home with this baby and we had had a home birth and then everybody left. And I just remember looking into the little side cart and just being like, oh God, just like,
what do we do now?
What do I do now? Like just this realization of like all the planning I've done was for everything up until this point, you know, all the thinking. And now I'm just going, oh wow. And so I'm curious, you know, for you guys, do you feel like you went into that with some level of intentional preparation, especially, I mean, obviously it's important to do that for birth, but I feel like, you know, the biggest part of the parenting is what happens after. Do you guys feel like you went into, you know, that with any preparation, or were you just kind of flying by the seat of your pants like I was?
A little bit of both. I think you and I have very similar personalities, actually. The more you talk, the more I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely me too. We did like a birth prep class that both of us went to. So we had a doula. And so we would have, you know, meetings throughout the pregnancy with our doula. We went to this labor class. I read, you know, all the books. And yeah, we'd had a very similar story, especially with our first, where I really researched the heck out of everything. But then you get the baby and you realize that, like, nobody could truly prepare you. Even if you had read every single book, I still felt like I knew nothing. Yeah. I took like one breastfeeding class. And that was really the extent of it. And actually, that's kind of how my business came about, because I was doing the same thing when I was getting ready for baby number two, researching. But this time it was about sleep, because I was like, I am not going to be unprepared this time. I am going to know what to expect. I'm going to know like a plan. I'm going to find an approach that works for us, because we'd sleep trained my first and it went horribly. And that was actually how I found this whole other world of like a different approach to sleep, more like holistic view of sleep and more responsiveness and stuff like that. So yeah. So I mean, in that way, the over researching served me well, because it kind of brought me to this new career path that I didn't even know existed. But yeah, I definitely felt with our first especially that we were way, way, way underprepared. And we were kind of the first of our friends to have kids too. So we really didn't have an example. So yeah, it definitely felt like that. Like, what do we do now?
Yeah. Do you feel like you had any particular kind of expectations about maybe how you would be as a mother, or what the experience of being a parent would be like, that once you were actually in that situation, you were like, oh, this is really wrong? Do you feel like there was any of that for you?
A little bit. I mean, I felt very prepared to like take care of a baby. I feel like I had had so much experience with babysitting. I babysat, like I said, from the time I was 12 all the way up until I was pregnant. Actually, I was still babysitting well into my 20s.
Oh, wow.
So I felt like I understood all of that logistical stuff, right? I don't think what I was prepared for was how I would change, and just the emotional exhaustion of it. And that whole side was definitely a big shock.
Yeah. Yeah. I also spent a lot of time like babysitting and nannying and things like that. And I remember thinking, I have got this. And I remember like having people around us who had, like, we did have people who had had children before us, like a lot earlier. My husband is older than I am, and quite a few of his friends had had children really young, but they weren't my direct kind of circle for me personally. And I remember them giving advice about all sorts of things, like from labor to, you know, whatever. And I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. I know what I'm doing. Like, we're solid, you know, we've got this. But once, you know, the babies actually came, it was like, oh, there's actually no clocking off. Like,
like that this was is actually 24/7.
Like, babysitting. Yeah, exactly. And there's no rest. And it's just like, it for some reason had not occurred to me how much of an impact that would have. Like, it just hadn't occurred to me at all. So that was, yeah, a really big thing for me. Yeah. And also, I think I just thought, like, up until that point in my life, because there was so much that was controllable for me, like in terms of, you know, I just did what I needed to do. And if I wanted something, I'd work to get it. Or if I didn't want to be in a certain situation, I would get out of the situation. Like, that's kind of the way that I lived. And so I sort of thought I was a very calm person. And then I had kids and just everything became not controllable, like, you know, a lot of that. And it was like, oh, there's actually this other part of me, this other side of me that I hadn't had much contact with. And now I had to learn that and learn how to, not just how to manage it, but how to, like, how to process things, you know, and how to how to regulate in the moments when everything feels like it's falling apart and overwhelming and all of that sort of stuff. I wonder if you felt that though, because I remember you saying that you felt pretty kind of like even keeled, you know, as a person before mm-hmm. having your kids. Do you feel like that's something that you would still say existed after and that you still feel that way, or has that been a different experience?
No. And it's so funny because I thought I would be the most patient mom in the entire world because I was just like a chill person most of the time by just my temperament. But also I was a special ed teacher and like I had seen everything. Like I had had the absolute wildest behaviors in front of me all day, every day that I was managing. And I was able to stay regulated and like I never got flustered. I was always able to just like very easily keep my cool and help the student regulate if they were having a hard time. But nobody triggers you like your own kids. It's like they're a little mirror and they're just showing you all of your issues because, yeah, it does not take much for me now to lose it. I'll be honest. Like it does not take much. Yeah. It's a daily, daily practice for me to not lose my absolute mind with my kids because, they're constantly triggering me. They're 6, 4, and 16 months. Like they're always, you know, doing something to get
ages.
A reaction out of me. Yeah.
Yeah. There's always something, isn't there, at all the ages, you know, and even in adulthood, obviously, you know, when children who are adults, there's going to be stuff there as well. But I think just the level of the amount that when they are young, that they rely on you for that co-regulation.
Yeah.
And that they rely on you to kind of be their executive functioning, like, you know, mm-hmm. helping them,
exactly.
you know, structure life and make decisions and all of that. Like there's a real load in that sense when they're really young. So yeah, it's big. And I'm with you. I feel so easily triggered about so many things. And I think it's that thing though, right? Like when I think back to when I was sort of babysitting and whatever, it just felt like there was a lot of controllables. And I think that's part of it for me. Whereas like now, you know, you can't necessarily control things. And I don't even mean the children, but I mean the amount of time you have to have respite or reset. You know, like previously, right. before I had kids, if things bothered me, even if I, you know, had a disagreement with my husband, I could just take some time away from him. I could go hang out with my girlfriends. I could go have a drink with them or a coffee or whatever.
Exactly.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
you can't do that anymore. So you constantly have all of this, you know, stuff, intensity that you kind of have to manage and juggle in some way. Cause I was about to say balance and I'm like, what even is that? So, you know, stuff that
so
you're
true.
Kind of just juggling. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And what do you feel like has been your kind of biggest challenge in being a parent? And obviously that could be something that is something that you're still working on. I think for many of us, the thing that is our challenge is our ongoing sort of challenge, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely haven't had any challenges that have been resolved. It's like everything that I have ever been challenged with, I am still working on, like very much a work in progress. I mean, I think the big one is definitely what we were just talking about, like just keeping myself regulated and understanding my triggers and, you know, not losing it on my kids is definitely like top of mind all the time. But also, and I'm sure you can relate with this too, also just the balance of running your own business and having really little kids. Like that's something that, you know, I am always kind of struggling with balancing.
Yeah.
It's definitely not easy because, you know, you're working for yourself. So it feels like, oh, I should be able to have more time for them because I'm technically home and nobody's actually telling me to work. But then you want to work because work feels good and kind of lights you up. But then you feel guilty for being away. And it's this constant kind of push pull. So that is definitely something that I struggle with regularly too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really curious about if you can tell me more about that in terms of what are the things that maybe pass through your mind or the instances, you know, that are the hardest with that, you know, like for myself. And actually, I was talking to another guest just recently who was also talking about this same thing and talking about, you know, some of the maybe the pressures externally, internally that we have around like what it means to be present for our children and, you know, stuff like that. And then when we feel like we don't live up to that. And obviously I'm interested in that because one of the ways that I kind of look at the experiences that women have in motherhood is also because I'm thinking about the kind of social context that we're in. and the kinds of expectations that that puts on women in terms of in terms of lots of different things, right? Like this idea that when you work, if you're a working mother, that you work, you know, as if you don't have children to care for. But then also on the flip side of that, you're a mother, so you should be present all of the time, right? So I'm curious about how that shows up for you.
Yeah. I think for me, it's mostly that I love my work and my work is also about motherhood, right? So it's like my brain is just never really switching off. So it's very hard for me to kind of go between real life and, you know, my like Instagram life, I guess, which is it's my real life that I'm sharing on Instagram, but it's just it's hard to kind of compartmentalize, I guess. So it's like when I'm with my kids and something happens that I feel like would be applicable to my audience and would be helpful to them, I'm thinking, oh, well, how could I maybe like turn this into a post or how could I share about this later? Or let me just write this thing down really quick. And then I'm, like you said, I'm not being present. So it's, that's just one example, but it is, it's hard to be fully with them or fully with my work because I do like work from home. And yeah, most of the time that I've been a business owner too, like I've been also the primary caretaker. So I've been doing all of my posting while my baby naps on me or like, you know, a breastfeeding session is when I'm doing question and answer sessions on Instagram. Like it was just, it was always so enmeshed and it was always just, I never knew where work ended and where my real life kind of began. If that makes sense. And so I'm starting to now find a better balance and I'm able to now compartmentalize a little bit more because my husband is a stay-at-home dad now, which is so wonderful. But then there's also this guilt of like, well, this is our last baby and like I'm missing stuff. And so it's just never ending, I guess, the mom guilt. But I'm trying to be better about it. And my husband is so supportive and understands that like I do love my work so much and I'm good at it and it's providing for our family. So it's the right call for right now for us to have this arrangement. But yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. And my goodness, I resonate so much with all of that. You know, with the, that kind of like the crossover between your personal life and the life that you share on a more public level, because it's obviously your business, but also because it's like they're like teaching opportunities, learning opportunities for other people out there that are struggling as well, right? Like I totally get that. And how beautiful, like it makes such a difference to know that you have support so that you can be flexible with your time. It's a really big thing. I was actually just thinking to myself the other day, I was like, I probably work more than if I worked for someone else, but there is flexibility in that work that I wouldn't be able to have if I worked for someone else. So it's a really interesting thing. I think so many people, especially mothers, go into running their own businesses, really having this idea that like we can work less in some way, but I'm not sure that that's actually true.
No, I think
there is so much work that goes into it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I was thinking about that recently too and how I don't know that I work like ever straight through an entire day. It's very rare that I'll work like a, you know, 9-to-5 schedule or something, but I work when the kids go to bed and I work on the weekends and, you know, it all definitely does. It does add up. And it's, you know, the flexibility is also wonderful and it's so nice and I'm so grateful for it, but yeah, it's definitely not less work. It's just work all the time.
Different.
And just in and out constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also like it's also when you are building a business, it's the hardest part of business in some ways, like the actual, like especially with, you know, social media and stuff like, you know, creating a presence, getting a community of people, it takes so much work. There is so much labor involved in creating a new business. And, you know, like myself, we decided to do that when we had toddlers, which is just like, you know, the worst time to start a business. But also that's when you have the fire, right? Like that's when you have the passion. And actually on that note, I'm curious about your own mothering experience and how that influenced your work. So you mentioned that you had this experience with kind of sleep training that didn't work and wasn't great. Can you tell us more about that and how that actually shaped where you've gone with your work?
Yeah. So we weren't sleeping like most new parents aren't. And I think we were prepared for that. Like everybody tells you, oh, you'll never sleep again. And so we were kind of ready for it and knew that we'd be tired. And, you know, I knew that I'd be up breastfeeding at night, that I wasn't fazed by that really. But I think around that like 3 or 4 month mark is when people start to ask like, oh, so is he sleeping through the night? And I would be like, no, like not even close. And those types of comments really just fueled what I had already probably had, which was postpartum anxiety. And I had never even heard of that before. This was 6 years ago. There wasn't as much on social media. I had, of course, heard of like postpartum depression, but I didn't feel depressed. I was, you know, I wasn't unhappy. I didn't hate my life. Like, I just was really overwhelmed all the time. And leaving the house with him seemed like a huge deal. I became very fixated on sleep. I became very fixated on his schedule, making sure that his naps were perfect, trying, you know, anything I could think of trying to make him sleep longer at night. We tried giving him formula, even though I was like, you know, I had an oversupply, if anything. And so we just tried all these things that friends or pediatricians were telling us to try. And I just had no idea at the time that like a 3 or 4 month old baby not sleeping through the night is not an emergency. Like it's fine. It's very normal and common. It's so not normal. Something that you need to, yeah, it's not something you need to like try so desperately to fix. But we did. We tried desperately to fix it and finally ended up purchasing a sleep training program that's very popular here in the States and trying to implement it. It was basically the Ferber method. And it just felt really horrible. And, you know, we paid all this money for it. So we felt like we needed to stick to it. And I reached out a couple days in just saying it didn't feel good. It wasn't working. He was crying way more than they said he was going to cry. And they kind of just told me to like stick with it. You have to be consistent or it'll never work. And then all of this will be for nothing. And so we kept going and, you know, it worked in some ways and didn't in other ways.
It's that real like escalation of commitment, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We just felt like we were too far in. We couldn't give up. And it just was horrible. And it worked. I talk about this on my podcast too. And I think it's episode one, actually. And, you know, it worked in some ways. Like, you know, he would put himself to bed, but he had a pacifier and he was kind of fine at bedtime anyways, but it didn't stop the night wakings. So we kind of just gave up. And I said, all right, well, he's still going to wake up at night. I'm going to feed him. And that's that. Like, I don't know what else to do. And we ended up trying a couple more times and still didn't work. Like nothing that we tried worked. And so we finally gave up for good and just said like, whatever, he's going to wake up for the rest of our lives. And that is just, it is what it is. We can't do this anymore. And a couple months later, he started sleeping through the night on his own. Like he night weaned himself, started sleeping through the night. He's still a great sleeper at 6 years old. And what we didn't know at the time, because I just had never heard of it before, was we didn't know that he had a highly sensitive temperament. And so much makes sense now about his infancy, now that I know more about that.
I feel the
that.
Same with my son.
And it's just, it's heartbreaking that parents don't know about that right out of the gate, because it could save so much frustration. But so it was, it was a really, really terrible experience for us. And, you know, that's not to say I blame anyone who has tried it or who thinks about trying it, because like I did. And so I totally get, you know, the place that you have to be in to want to try something like that and to push through that and to push through your instincts. But yeah, that really was, it's still like my husband and I talk about it all the time. Obviously, it's always kind of top of mind because of my work, but it's our biggest regret as parents for sure. It just, it felt terrible for us. So yeah, so that was kind of why we decided to look for a different approach for my daughter. And, you know, now you would never be able to tell which one was sleep trained and which one wasn't, because they go to bed at the exact same time. They both sleep through the night. They wake up at the exact same time. So it's funny. It just, it really does all work out if you just give it some time and if you just know your kid.
Yeah. We had also such a, my first as well, like just such an intense journey with sleep as well. I think he was like maybe just shy of 2 years old. I think he started sleeping through the night at like 2.5. So up until that point, he was very wakeful as well. Like he would wake, you know, like every 2 hours almost at one point. I mean, we just did a lot of co-sleeping and stuff. We tried sleep training as well, like probably not as long as you guys did, because I'm so weak hearted in that way. Like, I mean, it's strong hearted, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we didn't really do that. We tried so many different things though along that road, and I just felt like I was going insane. And it wasn't until I actually just gave up on all of that and just said, I'm just going to deal with the sleep that we have, that I actually was able to relax. And it doesn't mean that I stopped being tired. It doesn't mean any of that, but it did mean that I had to change the way that we lived our life and the kinds of, like, you know, how much I would plan to do or whether we went out at all, or, you know what I mean? So it meant that I had to change life. And I think for me, a big part of that, and maybe you may have experienced this too, is just because, you know, that conditioning that we get in the world about how, you know, like even that saying like sleep like a baby. And I'm like, I would not want to sleep like a baby. Like,
no, sleep like a baby. You want to wake up every hour and scream?
Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. Thank you. But you know, like there's that saying which just gives this air of like, oh, babies sleep peacefully and soundly, you know, and it's like, that's just really not the way that it is. And I think also for us, you know, how I was talking earlier about this idea that like I kind of knew what I was doing. And so the baby, I just had this idea that the baby would just fit in and I would be like the mum at the coffee shops, like well rested. You know, like just living my best life with my baby just slotted in alongside. And I think that that idea was such a, it was so detrimental for us and for that journey around sleep. And, you know, I held on to that for such a long time. But when I finally just like, just totally let go of it and was just like, yeah, I'm just going to deal with the sleep and the baby that is here. Everything just changed and it just became so much easier. But it did mean we had to change things that, you know, to do with our lifestyle and how we were kind of doing that. And it's interesting because they do all just end up sleeping. And I remember reading that when, you know, my eyes were hanging out of my head and I had this baby that was, you know, up at 3 a.m. and wouldn't go back to sleep. Like I remember being at the beach at like 4 a.m. in the morning in the summer with this kid with a little like container full of like, you know, cereal, eating that myself at the beach and him playing and just sitting there like, oh my God, because I just had to get out of the house. But yeah, I remember reading that about, you know, like they all grow up and they all sleep and just being like, are you sure?
I know.
But it's
when
true.
You're they in really it, do. It doesn't seem possible.
They really do. Yeah.
I just answered a question like that today. Yeah. I did a Q&A on my Instagram and someone was like, will my baby really sleep through the night someday? Like if I don't sleep train, even if I'm rocking her to sleep now and nursing to sleep now, like, will she really? And I have to laugh because it's such a sweet and innocent question.
It's so sweet.
And I can so remember what it feels like to be a first-time mom and to really just have no sense of the future and like everything that you're experiencing and dealing with seems like it's going to be forever. It really feels like this is your life now and it's not going to get better. It's not going to change. And then it just somehow does. And I answered that question with like, yeah, I promise. Like my four-year-old came into my bed this morning. I can't even remember the last time she came into my bed in the morning. It was like 6 a.m. She woke up a little early and just kind of wanted to come snuggle. And this was the baby that would only co-sleep, breastfed all night long, like would not detach from my body, slept on my chest until she was like 2. And, you know, now she sleeps in her own room through the night and it's just not an issue. We don't even struggle getting her to bed. She asks to go to bed. She says, Mommy, will you tuck me in? I'm tired. So it does come. And I think the problem is just that it doesn't come fast enough when we're that tired. But
totally.
Yeah. Sometimes that like radical acceptance is really kind of the only way to get through.
Yeah. And it's hard, right? Because also, you know, zooming out from our own individual experiences as well, it makes sense why it's hard. And sometimes it's hard to accept that, you know, baby sleep is interrupted sleep. And that's normal. And even if we accept that, to not want it to be different, right? Like,
of course,
it's really hard for that because we live in a world and in a culture that there's such a lack of support and we don't have strong communities around, especially in that newborn kind of stage for first time parents. We don't have a lot of people there who can take the load that is required to be, you know, like mums are like sleep deprived and still having to do everything. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, so it makes so much sense why, you know, we want our babies to just go to sleep because, you know, we have to go back to work or because our partner isn't helping in the night because he has to work very early in the morning or whatever. Like, or maybe we have other children that we need to parent as well. Like, it makes so much sense. And I just want to put that in there because I want, if anyone is listening, and I know you talk about this as well, you know, it's not our fault. It's kind of like it's the whole kind of system and the way our communities are structured that we just don't have the support that we really need to like straight away be like, yeah, it's cool. Like I can be up in the night because I've got support with this, this and this from other people in my community. Like it's difficult to let babies just be babies when you don't have the support you need to do it because I don't think, you know, parenting isn't just the job of one person or even two, right? Like two people in a couple. It requires so much more than that.
It's so true. I talk about that a lot and tell parents, like, you're not doing anything wrong. It's not feeling this way and feeling this hard because you suck at it. It's just, you're not meant to be doing this alone. You're meant to be doing this with so much more support than you have. And the other piece that I'll say is I think that there's also a huge comparison problem right now with parents where we're seeing so many other people parent than we normally would, like in a world that didn't have social media.
Yeah.
And so you do see videos of those, you know, 3 week old babies who are sleeping through the night, or you see all kinds of things. And so I think that can really mess with your head as well.
Yeah, I so agree with that. And it's one of those double-edged sword, isn't it? Seeing all of these different people's experiences can be such a good thing and also can not be such a good thing at times as well. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I'd love to know, what do you think has been your kind of biggest area of growth personally as you've been mothering so far?
Well, personally, I think I've grown to just be so much more confident in myself and in the way that I parent. And I think a lot of that really comes from my business and my community on Instagram. And I don't know, I feel very at peace and comfortable with kind of who I am, which I definitely didn't always in my life, especially before kids. But I think there's something about having kids that makes you just be like, F everyone. Like I can only focus on so many things, and other people's opinions of me like cannot be something that I care all that much about anymore. So yeah, I would say the confidence and just kind of trusting myself for sure.
Yeah, I love that. And I so agree with you about that as well. Like, so outside of the work that I do now, I've got a background in music and in performance. And after I had my babies, I really remember going back to perform and having such a different experience. Like previously, like I always felt really nervous before going on stage, and I would get so in my head about it because it was just such a big thing. And now I put in the effort, obviously, to like rehearse and all the rest of it, and I still have a little bit of that. But once it gets to the day, I'm just like, I'm a fucking lord. Like I'm a mother. I can do like, and it's just like, it just feels so much less of this big daunting task. Cause I'm like, do you know where I have been in the last 8 years? Like,
I love that.
I've got this. It's so funny the way that that's shown up. And I think that when I first went back to perform, I think that my son was maybe 2. And when I first had that experience, I was just like, oh, wow, like this is really different. And it was such a different experience performing because of that as well. But I also recognize that that's actually an experience I've had in all of my life where, you know, that thing of like, well, whatever, you know, like this is my life and these are my kids and I'm doing it how I want to do. Like I've definitely got that. But I think that was the first moment that it really hit me that like, oh, wow, that's changed.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. So I would also, before we finish up, this one more question that I'd love to ask you. What would you most like to impart on mothers who are listening today?
Well, I think the thing that I really try to boil down like all of my content and all of my education to is to really just trust yourself, kind of like what we were just saying, trust yourself. And also just know that like nothing that you're dealing with is truly forever. And that's not to say that you don't need support or that you shouldn't reach out if there's something that really feels too big to manage, but also just hold everything super lightly. Like your baby had a really horrible night. Just hold that so lightly. And you know, just know that you don't need to fix everything. You don't need to overanalyze everything. You don't need to compare yourself to anyone. Like you really do know best. You know your baby best. You know yourself. And that really is kind of all you need. You don't need lots of outside voices and opinions. And it really just is best to kind of keep it simple, especially in those early days postpartum, where, you know, you're just kind of in your own little bubble and enjoying things as much as you possibly can and knowing that the hard shit, like it does pass. It really does.
Yeah, I love that. All of that. I feel like I can even just take that on still now, even though like I'm not in those early years anymore. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Thank you so very much for coming on and sharing a bit of your story and, you know, some of your experiences. For those listeners that want to connect with you and want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. It was so fun to get to chat with you again. And I hope everyone will come find your episode on my podcast where we talked all about anger in motherhood. And it was such a great conversation. So my podcast is called No One Told Us. And then as far as sleep stuff, you can follow me on Instagram at Hey Sleepy Baby. And then my website as well is heysleepybaby.com. And we've got courses, guides, one-on-one consultations. I have a blog with tons and tons of free tips and information. It's all evidence-based and really holistic. No cry it out, no sleep training, just, you know, very biologically normal infant sleep and just teaching you how to get as much sleep as humanly possible in those first few years.
Oh, I love that. Yes, such fantastic resources. Thank you so much. I will make sure to link those in the show notes. Thank you so much again, Rachel, and I'll speak to you soon. Thanks so much for joining me, Mama. If you enjoyed this episode, I would just love for you to leave me a review and follow or subscribe to be notified when the next episode drops. If you'd like to connect with me, you can find me over at Instagram, where my handle is at Life After Birth Psychology. And you can find out more about how I can support you on your mothering journey at my website, www.lifeafterbirth.com.au. See you back here soon for our next chat.